After making the crossing to the other side of the sea, Jesus and his disciples came to land at Gennesaret and tied up there. As they were leaving the boat, people immediately recognized him. They scurried about the surrounding country and began to bring in the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. Whatever villages or towns or countryside he entered, they laid the sick in the marketplaces, begged him that they might touch only the tassel on his cloak. And as many as touched it were healed. Señor, esté con vosotros. Lectura del Santo Evangelio según San Marcos. En aquel tiempo, Jesús y sus discípulos terminaron la travesía del lago y tocaron tierra en Gennesaret. Apenas bajaron de la barca, la gente los reconoció y toda aquella región acudió a él. A cualquier parte donde sabían que se encontraba. Y les llevaban en camillas a los enfermos. A donde quiera que llegaba. En los poblados, ciudades y caseríos. La gente le ponía a sus enfermos en la calle. Le rogaba que por lo menos los dejara tocar la punta de su manto. Y cuantos lo tocaban, quedaban curados. Palabra del Señor. En la vida pública de Jesús, Jesús era un doctor. Un doctor que sanaba. Y gratis. Y en forma muy eficaz. Bajo una condición, la fe. La fe. La fe que puede mover las montañas. Este es el punto central del Evangelio de hoy. ¿Dónde iba Jesús? La gente lo seguía. Porque radiaba amor y compasión. Compasión significa la capacidad para sufrir con los demás, de tratar de aliviar el sufrimiento, el dolor, las enfermedades. Pero igual que hace 2000 años, nosotros estamos muy lastimados. Se lo repito, estamos muy lastimados. Debido al pecado original de Adán y Eva, y debido a nuestros pecados personales. Me gustaría decirle un cuento de sanación. Cuando yo tenía 13 años, hace muchos años atrás, así, mis padres querían que sus hijos leyeran. Por esas vacaciones tuvimos que leer libros. Y yo y mi hermano mayor hemos decidido de leer un autor que se llama Taylor Caldwell, ¿ok? Taylor Caldwell, que había escrito muchos libros sobre la Biblia. Poca ficción, poca no ficción. Pero me acuerdo una mañana, mi mamá y mi hermana mayor estaban platicando sobre un libro de Taylor Caldwell que se llamaba The Dear and Glorious Physician, El Médico Glorioso y Cariñoso. Y era San Lucas. Que mi hermana escogió de leer San Lucas y yo escogí The Great Lion of God, Grande León de Dios, San Pablo. Ahorita mi hermano es doctor y yo soy predicador. Mamás tienen ciertas intuiciones, ¿no es cierto, no? Pero el cuento en ese libro fue que se lo acercó a San Lucas un hombre muy, muy enfermo. Muy enfermo. Y él iba de un doctor al otro, gastando todos sus bienes. Y terminó bancarrota. Entonces él había escuchado de la persona de Lucas. Y Lucas era pintor, doctor, escritor, misionero, pero más que nada un hombre que amaba mucho. Un corazón lleno de amor por Jesús y por los demás. Por eso el hombre hizo un esfuerzo de encontrarse con Jesús, con Lucas. Y al verlo, Lucas hizo una cosa muy diferente. No preguntaba cuánto dinero tenía el enfermo, sino, ¿cómo se llamaba? ¿Dónde vivía? Sus hermanos, su profesión, lo que le gustaba. Y San Lucas, sin que le hizo la pregunta, ¿cuál es tu enfermedad? El hombre se sanó. Porque la razón de la enfermedad fue, nadie le mostraba amor en su vida. ¿Cuántas personas en este mundo están muriendo por falta de amor? Se lo repito, ¿cuántas personas en este mundo están muriendo por falta de amor? La Madre Teresa de Calcuta, fundador de las, ¿saben? Las Misioneras de la Caridad, dijo esto: la ciudad más pobre en el mundo no es Calcuta, es New York City, Nueva York. Nueva York. Ustedes están pensando, Madre Teresa no conoce muy bien las ciudades ricas y pobres. ¿Por qué digo que es la ciudad más pobre? Tiene Wall Street, ¿eh? Tiene Greenwich Village. Yo vengo de Nueva York. Ella decía, porque más pobre, porque tiene mucho dinero, pero poco amor. Por esta razón. Por esta razón. Entonces, mi punto es esto. Si queremos lograr la sanación, porque todos estamos lastimados, y tiene que admitirlo, todos debemos dejar que Jesús nos ame. Amén. Dejar que Jesús nos ame. Como dice San Juan, Jesús nos amó primero. Hay varias personas aquí que todavía no quieren dejar que Jesús los ame. Aquí, en la iglesia ahorita. Tal vez eres tú. Por miedo, inseguridad, complejos. Mil causas. Dios es amor. Pero Él respeta nuestra libertad. No va a forzar, obligar, violar tu libertad. Por eso hoy, trata de abrir tu corazón al amor de Jesús. Amén. Pero es avenida de doble mano. Deja que Jesús te ame y tú ama a los demás. Empezando con tu hija. Empezando con tu mamá. Empezando con tu esposo. Empezando con tu esposa. Empezando con tu hija. Empezando con tu hijo. A veces la gente en la casa nos saca de la casilla. Nos hace perder los estribos. Nos saca canas verdes y no hemos perdido los pelos. Okay? Pero el amor empieza en casa. Pues hermanos, estamos lastimados, heridos, con cicatrices morales, emocionales en toda nuestra alma. Pero Jesús vino para sanar y salvar. Amén. Deja que Jesús te ame y trata de amar a los demás y el amor empiece en nuestra propia casa. Amén. When I was about 13 years of age, ages and ages ago, my parents wanted us to be voracious readers. Thanks be to God. So on vacation, my parents said that we had to read good books. And not comic books either, okay? Good substantial books with good intellectual content. So one summer, must have been like 1969, about that, 68 or 69, my mother suggested that me and my older brother read a very famous novelist, and her name is Taylor Caldwell. Pretty well-known modern novelist. And she suggested that my older brother read St. Luke, the Dear and Glorious Physician. And she suggested that I read The Great Lion of God, St. Paul. I think sometimes mothers have intuitions, because now my brother is a physician, now I'm a missionary preacher. I think those holy mothers of the past had those intuitions about where their children were going to end up. One doing physical surgery, the other doing surgery of the soul. Amen? And I remember once, we were sitting at the table, and my mother and my brother were having an intellectual conversation on that book that my brother is reading. Called The Great Lion of God. Rather, The Dear and Glorious Physician, St. Luke. And they're talking about a chapter that really fascinated both of them. Now try to recount the chapter in about 2 minutes. It's a story of a very sick man that went from one physician to the next. And he got worse and worse and worse, and he ended up without any money. But he heard about this man. His name was Luke. Luke was a painter. He was a writer. He was a missionary. He was a linguist. And he was also a physician. Paul would call him the dear and glorious physician. So the man decided, I'm going to try to meet Luke. So he made a concerted effort and he finally tracked down this Dr. Luke. And he drew close to Luke. And the first thing that Luke did was not to ask how much money you have, but rather, what is your name? Where do you live? Who are your brothers? Are you married? What do you like? What are your hobbies? Do you believe in God? And after Luke manifested this love, compassion, and concern, even before asking him what his sickness was, he was healed. What was his sickness? It really was not a physical sickness, but it was simply no one ever showed him love. How many people today in the modern world are suffering and dying because of lack of love? Most of humanity. Most of humanity. For that reason, the great Mother Teresa of Calcutta said that the poorest city in the world is now not Calcutta. Nor Harlem. Poorest city in the world is New York City. Some of you are shocked. How could Mother Teresa have made that mistake if she's going to be canonized? She didn't make a mistake. She's right. New York City is the richest city in the world economically. You've heard of Wall Street. But it's a city where there's very little love. There's love for money. Love for money. Love for the millions. But very little love for people. So all of us here, we are wounded individuals. We are gaping wounds. But good news, we can be healed. Let me tell you two ways that you can be healed. First is, let Jesus Christ love you right now. Amen? Let Jesus Christ love you right now. St. John says, He loved us first. I think most of us think that the love depends upon us more than on God. It depends more on God than on us. Where were you 100 years ago? You didn't even exist. You didn't even exist. God loved us first. And I'm not saying this is a pious platitude or a cliche. He loved us first. Let Him love you. There's probably a good number of people here that have really never experienced the love of God. Maybe you've heard it upstairs intellectually. You've got a head trip cerebrally. You've got it up there. But in the depths of your heart, probably a lot of us have never experienced it in our life yet. Now's the time. Right before Lent. Right before Lent. Let God love you. And then you go out and you love others. You hear me? Let God love you and you go out and you love others. Charity begins at home. Love that most unlovable person maybe in your house. Who knows, maybe it's your husband now. Maybe it's your son. Maybe it's your daughter. Maybe it's your mother-in-law. Maybe it's your teenage son that's driving you batty, driving you up the wall. Some of you have teenagers. Don't they drive you nuts at times? We used to be a teenager, right? Maybe that's the person you're supposed to be loving most. So my friends, all of us can be healed. So I'd like to end with, I know we have a lot of scholars here, with a very intellectual poem that maybe one day you can memorize. And it goes like this. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. My friends, welcome to the Humpty Dumpty Club. Welcome to the Humpty Dumpty Club of St. Peter Chanel. But the good news is, Jesus can put us back together again. Jesus Christ came to heal us and to save us and to love us. Amen.